You can find my podcast and other podcasts similar to mine on the Christian Podcast Community at podcast.strivingforeternity.org. You can find my podcast and other podcasts similar to mine on the Christian Podcast Community at podcast.strivingforeternity.org.
The Ear, Evangelical and Reformed, Christian Podcast. Welcome to The Ear, the Evangelical and Reformed, a Christian podcast that urges you to think deeper and draws you closer to God through faith. Through powerful sermons, teaching segments, and discussions, The Ear hopes to give you a different perspective on secular topics from a Christian worldview. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Please welcome your host, Brandon Queen.
Good morning, podcast world, and welcome back to yet another genuine episode of Loving Your Muslim Neighbor. Again, this series is based on a book written by Timothy and Miriam Harris on their experiences while sharing the gospel among Muslim people. Thank you, Brother Tim, for joining us. How you doing this morning?
Hey, great, brother. Last time I talked to you, I was in Tulsa, Oklahoma in a hotel, and today I am with you in the middle of nowhere in northwest Kansas on the farm where I grew up with my mother, 96 years old.
Nice. Man, 96.
Yeah.
That's great. Well, it's not crazy. It's awesome. So the good thing is, you know, we are on episode 6. And I entitled this episode Genuine Evangelism, which is going to cover chapters 13 to 15. So what I want to do is I want to make this statement that I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel. That is a Bible verse out of Philippians chapter 1, verse 12. And this verse is a simple reminder that everything that we do when sharing the gospel and showing love to our neighbors is for the sake of the kingdom. So, with that being said, my first question for the morning is this: how does one start the conversation with a Muslim about Christianity?
All right. Good question, Brandon. So we put in our book, Loving Your Muslim Neighbor, a whole section in the back of the book. It's Appendix 3, and that appendix is called Finding Muslim People Where You Live and Helpful Conversation Starters. So we have a whole list of conversation starters that are for just everyday conversation, just from the very beginning when you meet a Muslim. And then we have another whole group of conversation starters that relate to your question, and we just call them spiritual conversation starters. So would it be okay if I read a couple of those?
Yeah, go for it.
All right. So we kind of start off with the spiritual conversation starters, start out a little bit more about asking your Muslim friend, neighbor, coworker, new acquaintance, a little bit more about what they believe. And then we get into, then we start moving toward what we believe. So they go from lighter to heavier. So we just ask questions like, do people talk about religion in your country? Or is it more of a private thing? Would you say that people in your home country are more or less religious than what you see of people here? How is your practice of Islam the same as in your family? Or how is it different? And what are the religious traditions of your family? May I ask, how often do you pray? Do you pray before meals? Then we move into questions like creation. How do you think people were created and why? What do you think is the purpose of life in Islam, in your religion? And we go deeper. When bad things happen to people, when tragedies happen, how do you view them? Do you have peace? Do you have hope? Do you believe Allah or Allah cares about human beings? Why or why not? Do you believe that Allah is a God of love? Do you believe that Allah loves you? And then, so we have a whole bunch of things. We ask, what do you think paradise is like? And how do you get to paradise in Islam? And then we ask questions like, how have people treated you here as a Muslim? And then we move more over to the Christian side, Brandon, and we ask questions like, do you know why people here celebrate Christmas and Easter? Have you read any part of the Bible? Would you like to hear what the Bible says about what a true follower of Jesus is? Would you like to hear the key points of the Bible? Would you like to read the Bible together with me? Have you ever been to a church here since you came here? And would you like to go with me? So that's, I didn't read them all, and that was long enough for your listeners, but that gives you an idea of the kind of questions you can use to start a spiritual conversation with a Muslim person and then move it more and more toward who Jesus is.
Okay. All right. So among those questions, this is one that I found in the book, and I thought it was a very interesting question. And the question is, how do Muslims view hell, and what's their version of hell?
Yeah. We asked a young Muslim man. I was having dinner with him one night. He was from Bangladesh. And I remember asking him, do you fear hell? And Brandon, I still remember sitting in that restaurant. This is years ago in 2009. And I said, after I said, do you fear hell? He just looked down and he just said softly, every day. And so I have asked more Muslims. Yeah, it was just like, wow, Lord. And I have began to learn then, and have learned more since then, that so many Muslims, Brandon, believe that they will go to hell at least for some period of time, because they don't think that their good deeds will outweigh their bad deeds on the day of judgment. And so God will, on the day of judgment, send them to hell for at least some period of time. It's kind of like purgatory. When you ask, it's kind of like purgatory, really. It is. Yeah. And so their version of hell is a place where obviously it's terrible suffering. Your flesh is boiled off, and it just melts off of you. And then it's just replaced and burnt or boiled off over and over and over again until God has mercy on you and then allows you to go to paradise. So, yeah, it's Muslims absolutely fear hell. And as that young man said so wistfully and sadly, he fears it every day.
And I find it interesting that, you know, that they have a version of hell. And I mean, their version is obviously different from what our version is. And, you know, but my question should have been is, you know, who controls their hell? Is it Allah, or, you know, is it another person, if you will? You know, so that's a question I would want to ask a Muslim person.
Yeah. And they would definitely say it would be Allah. Okay. Or sometimes they pronounce it Allah. But yes, they would believe he's the one that's controlling that, and he's the one that determines whether you go there or not and for how long.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, and because of what you just said, that is exactly why we should have genuine relationships with Muslim people. And my next question is this: why should we be genuine in sharing the gospel with our Muslim neighbors?
Well, I think we need to have our own view of hell. You know, I know that hell is not something that's fashionable nowadays to talk about. It's sad to me that you turn on some TV preacher and you're probably not going to hear him ever even mention the word hell. And And we believe so emphatically that Jesus believed in hell. And if he did, we better. And if Jesus didn't want to go people to go to hell, we don't. He wept over Jerusalem. Mm. He told, the parable of Lazarus and the rich man in Luke 16. And it's just amazing to me how Jesus spoke these words to warn people. As he mentioned, Lazarus said from hell, "Father Abraham, have pity on me and send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger, in water and cool my tongue, because I am in agony in this fire. I beg you, Father, send Lazarus to my family, for I have 5 brothers. Let him warn them so that they will not also come to this place of torment." And so I think we need to be super genuine in our evangelism, because Jesus was genuine about the reality and the horrors of a place called hell.
Yeah.
And he didn't want people to go there. And I think that our Muslim friends need to see that we don't want them to go there either.
That's right. That's right. And one of the things that made me ask this question about being genuine and sharing the gospel, you know, we've talked about it before on previous episodes, and I've said it before throughout the lifespan of my podcast, is that the Great Commission is our marching orders. You know, we are to go and share the gospel with all people. You know, the Bible does not say withhold this gospel from Muslims, withhold this gospel from atheists. It doesn't say anything about withholding good news. The best way to guard the gospel is to share it.
Yeah, good. Amen, brother. Amen.
And we simply have to do it to where everybody we come in contact with, not just Muslims, but everybody we come in contact with, should know whose we are and how we operate.
Oh, yeah.
So
that's excellent.
Yeah, we got to be genuine in sharing the gospel. We have to be adamant in sharing the gospel. We have to be, I don't want to say pushy, I don't want to say aggressive, but we have to show people and tell people about our Savior.
Amen, brother. Amen. And, you know, when you love something or someone, you tell people about it, right?
Yeah.
I mean, even the shyest person sometimes, if they're really excited about something, they tell somebody about it. And you can tell, you can see in them their excitement or love. And how much more, right? If we love Jesus, if we love God our Father for what he has done and the sacrifice of his Son, right, then the love of Christ controls us.
Yeah.
And it's got to come out of us.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I have this sermon playing in my head right now based on Revelation 7:9. And I've said it before in another season, I think season 2, The Beauty of the Local Church, when I was talking about diversity in God's house. And I used this analogy of this quilt. And how God is stitching together everything, like, you know, different personalities are stitched together and woven into the fabric of the kingdom. And then you have of different ethnic groups, different ethnos, you have different languages, and all of that is woven into this beautiful quilt. And, you know, and like I said in that episode, if God is not the greatest quilter, then who is? And you can literally take scripture from Genesis 1 all the way to Revelation, and you can see several verses that talks about our identity in God, our identity in Christ, and how we as a people, the bridegroom of the church, if you will, the bridegroom of Christ, how we are woven into one another because we share the same common thread. And that's Jesus Christ. That's the gospel.
Amen, brother.
So that's something that's playing in my head, and that might become a sermon if I can figure out how to tie the entire Bible to Revelation 7:9, which I'm pretty sure I can. I just got to figure out.
You can, brother. You can. You preach it and I'll turn the pages.
Awesome. So, you know, I've noticed that here in America, you know, most people take pride in being Christian because we believe it's part of our American heritage, American history, if you will. You know, Catholics definitely take pride in being Catholic and so forth and so on. But one of us, or, you know, a group of us would consider that because we are Christians and we say we believe in God, that we're being patriotic. Mm-hmm. But are we willing to evangelize our patrioticness of the gospel, if you will? Mm-hmm. You know, are we willing to go that extra mile? Mm-hmm. All right. So are we trying to make Muslims American? Or we're trying to make them Christ followers, or we're trying to make them American Christianity, which is the name it and claim it gospel, obviously, which is not something that we ought to be teaching. You know, so my question is, as Christians, are we showing patriotism, or are we showing genuine evangelism?
Yeah, beautiful question, brother. And so, we've been on kind of a campaign, if you will, for quite a few years to challenge Christians, followers of Jesus. What's more important to you, patriotism or evangelism? Now, listen, I want to make sure that your podcast listeners know that Miriam, my wife, and I are patriotic, and we're thankful for the United States of America. We're very thankful that God had us born here. We're thankful for our forefathers and for people who've sacrificed for the sake of this country, the freedoms we have. So I never want to downplay that. But the Bible says clearly that we are, first of all, as Paul said, citizens of heaven. Yeah. And we await his return. And so that's more important to us than any election, any political party, anything, right? Political. And so the story I want to share with your podcast listeners is that in September of 2009, we piled into a Ford Flex with three other friends, and we drove to Washington, D.C., because we heard that there was going to be a gathering of 50,000 Muslims at the Capitol praying around on the lawns all around the Capitol. And we just all felt, hey, let's go there. Let's share the love of Jesus and the gospel. And so we went. And I'll tell you, Brandon, it was hard, because it really was an assault on our patriotic kind of values, if you will, our sentiment. Because that day, man, you know, pristine blue skies, Old Glory, you know, our flag flying above the Capitol. And there on that lawn, nowhere near 50,000 Muslims, but still thousands, they were praying to Allah and having a sermon, and even having, they had an elaborate speaker system, even having some people come up who were converting from whatever faith they had to Islam. And it was just brutal on us, like, you know. And I remember that Miriam especially was struggling. And so, because this was just, it was emotionally difficult, you know, to hear those words at the Capitol building. And it was spiritually difficult for us to just see that, just what was going on. And so, you know, Miriam took a walk and had a talk with God, and she wrote this in our book. I want to read it for your listeners.
Yes.
Since God has called us into this ministry, I've been struggling with a divided heart toward Muslims. I know God loves Muslims, and he longs for them to know him and his son, Jesus Christ. But the other part of me wants to defend America and is angry at them for 9/11 and for their agenda to spread Islam to the extent that all nations become Islamic, even America. Being in Washington, D.C. brought my thoughts into sharper focus. I can either continue to be angry and hinder Muslims from hearing the gospel because of my anger, or I can see God using the Islamic agenda to spread Islam worldwide I can see God actually using that for his purpose. What is his purpose? His purpose is to bring Muslims into countries where they have freedom of religion, as we do, so that they can hear the good news of Jesus Christ. Wow. Patriotism to our country is still important to me, but our primary job is to work with God to get the message of the cross to Muslims and all lost people and advance his kingdom.
Amen.
Yeah. I loved how Miriam wrote those words, that her little walk with God that day when Muslims were all over the Capitol praying, and what he said to her.
Yeah, that's amazing. And a lot of people think that, and we're going to get to that later on, but a lot of people, they look at the Muslim people or the Islamic people differently because of 9/11. And I think in episode 7, we're going to touch upon that a little bit more. So I don't want to jump the gun on that one too much. But what Miriam wrote is very interesting, because it actually leads up to my next question.
Okay.
And it's a serious question, not just for you and Miriam or for me, but for my listeners. May it be Muslim, may it be Christian, may it be whatever. This question is this: what would you lose so that Muslims might truly live? Now, in your book, you have a series of questions based around this particular question. What would you lose so that Muslims might truly live? I'm going to change it up and say, what would you lose that the non-believer might truly live?
Mm-hmm. Mm.
So if you don't mind, I don't have the book next to me, horrible me, but you got a series of questions in that, in the book, in I can't remember which chapter it is. I think it's 15.
Yeah.
Chapter 15. You got some questions in there based around this main question about the Christian sacrificing. Can you read those off for us?
You bet. would you lose your clothes so that Muslims might live? Would you lose your car that Muslims might live? Would you lose your health that Muslims might live? Would you lose your visa that Muslims might live? And then the strongest and ultimate question, would you lose your life that Muslims might live? And so, yeah, with each one of those questions in chapter 15, there's a story that answers those questions.
Yeah, and that, I found that very astounding. Just, I never thought about it. What would I give up so that someone would truly hear the gospel? And I think about those times that one of my best friends, Robert, you know, we tease each other a lot. You should hear us joke and clown each other. It's amazing. But just those nights that he and I would stay up talking about the gospel you know, me sharing with him what I know and how I interpret the gospel to help him better understand where I'm coming from. And then he giving his side of what he thinks the gospel is, and just us together, we're two believers, but just us together talking about the faith. Now, I lost hours of sleep doing that from time to time.
Yep.
But the question is, would I do that with the person that may be, let's say, suffering of suicidal thoughts, or a person that's on the brink of just wanting to quit because they, you know, they can't do it? Time.
Yeah.
Would you lose your time so that someone might truly live?
Mm.
Because time is a precious gift from God.
Mm-hmm.
And our time is based on what we do in our life. Because look, at the end of the day, when I close my eyes and I take that last fleeting breath, what will my life account for if I wasted my time and I didn't lose my time to the person that needed to be closer to God so they could truly live?
And amen, brother.
And I digress from that one. So the last question, and this one is also from your book. I think I reworded it a little bit. It says, why should we be willing to lose a little for the sake of showing our Muslim neighbors that genuine love of Christ?
Yeah. So what we have found, and I love that illustration you talked about losing sleep. I mean, that's great. And basically, any of the losses that we talk about for the sake of advancing the kingdom of God in a friend's life, what we have found is that God can use our personal losses to create kingdom opportunities for unbelieving people to come closer to eternal life.
Yeah.
So, you know, just the little stories, I'll just summarize the little stories in this chapter. A friend and I went to the Middle East. His suitcase didn't come for the whole trip. And so he lost his clothes. He lost his suitcase. It was uncomfortable. We went to a clothing store, a men's clothing store, and we got to witness to the Muslim men in that country because he lost his clothes, yeah. You know? I mean, who knows whether those guys had heard the gospel or not, but through that loss, they did. And then we were in Washington, D.C. in 2009, and during a church service, some people stole our car. And so that was really inconvenient. And my wife and son went back home with a rental car, and I had to stay there till our car was found and fixed. But during that time, I went to Muslim-owned and operated restaurants, two of them, and I got to witness to Muslims from Niger, Morocco, Qatar, and Turkey, you know?
Wow.
Yeah. Another one was losing health so that Muslims might live. So my mom was in a tragic car accident, had to be taken out by the jaws of life, but airlifted and everything, 200 miles. But after her surgery, she was put in a rehab unit. And Brandon, you know who surrounded her working in that rehab place? Muslim
yeah.
women. Muslim women, man. And so what did mom do in that rehab unit? Well, she lost the ability to walk for a time, but she gained the opportunity to witness to all those Muslim women.
Yeah.
And who knows, you know, it's planting seeds, right?
Right.
Would you lose your visa? So I lost my visa to a country in the Middle East that I went to 7 times, and I was going in for my 8th time and had plans to actually live there part of the year. And I, at some point, and it's too long of a story, but at some point, they pulled me out of line, took me in, took scans of my retinal scans and fingerprints and everything else. And then finally, after 5 hours, they told me, your visa is denied. You are blacklisted. You can never come again to this country. And you have to go home tonight. And so, you know, that was a huge loss for us. But God put us in a different position in our missions agency where we can now even influence more people. And so, and the final one, Brandon, I want to bring up to your podcast listeners is that question, would you even lose your own life?
Yeah.
So that Muslims might have eternal life. And it's the story of a dear friend of ours. Her pseudonym, her pen name is Emily Foreman. She wrote a great book I recommend to you and your listeners. It's called We Died Before We Came Here. It's a famous missions quote, but the short story of what happened to her is that she and her husband moved with their kids, to small children, to North Africa. And her husband, they were really doing well in their ministry to Muslims. And one day, some radicals from Al-Qaeda, three of them, tried to pull her husband into a car, kidnap him. And he resisted them and was fighting them off. And two of them were fighting him. And one of them jumped out of the car and shot him point blank in the face and killed him.
Oh, man.
Yeah, just a horrifying experience. But here's the amazing thing, Brandon. Because of his loss of life, more Muslims have come to Christ by far than when he lived.
Wow.
It's just, you know, John 12:24, Jesus talks about unless that seed goes into the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it goes into the ground and dies, it bears fruit. And so that whole chapter was, You know, are you willing to lose, you know, your comfort, your time, some of your money, maybe perhaps your safety? Are you willing to lose what people think about you? Any of those things? Isn't it worth it to follow your Jesus into the spiritual battlefield of winning souls for Christ, winning people for Christ? And so this widow said, ultimately, it boiled down to one thing: was Jesus truly worthy of our lives? And there was no debating that.
Oh, amen.
Mm.
Amen.
Well, yeah. Look,
I can't top that. So that's it. That's all I got. That's all I have for this episode. That was amazing. And to my listeners, you know, if you got the book, please, please read it and use these episodes from this podcast as a guide to help you through this book. And you will, you know, by God's grace and God's design, I hope and pray that you can learn to love Muslim people through this series. You know, we got about 16 weeks together, and we're going to do all 16 weeks, and we're going to talk about everything in this book to the best of our ability. So that's all I have. God bless you all, and thank you for joining this episode of Loving Your Muslim Neighbor.
You have reached the end of yet another episode from The Ear. We hope that God's word remains on the ears of the listeners. We pray that this podcast would urge you to go forth and spread His good news to the world. Thank you for tuning in. Please don't forget to subscribe to our podcast. See you at the next episode. God bless you, and may His glory shine upon you.